Oh, hallelujah. Let's just worship him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Oh, we praise you. We worship you. We adore you. We bow before you this morning. We bless your holy name, Father. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, great Father God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. Andele basate. Oh, glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Praise your holy name. Andele basate. Let's just take our time this morning. Oh, shandele basate. Oh, nanana satai. Holy Spirit, have your way. Ishandoro basate. Ishandele bahasate la mahasatos. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory to you. Oh, we bow before you today. We worship. We adorate. Oh, we love you, Father. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so wonderful. Hallelujah to him this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Father God. Yesterday, when I was studying to find out what to speak on today, Isaiah 6 came to my mind. And when you look at Isaiah 6, you'll see exactly what was in that song this morning. In the year of Uzzah, I probably won't say that right, died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. And if ever we need as a church, not just this body, but the church, is to see the Lord. We need to see him afresh, who he is, what he has, how beautiful he is. And he said, I saw him sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And stood the seraphims, and each one, we sang every bit of this in this song this morning. When the Holy Ghost puts something together, it's good. It's good. I love it. It never fails. I want to dance because I love it. Because you didn't know what I was going to speak on today. You had no idea. How beautiful is that? To me, it is. It's beautiful. It's encouraging. And the seraphims and six wings were twain. He covered his face. And with twain, he covered his feet. And one cried unto another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the whole earth is filled with his glory. Even creation cries out the glory of the Father. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice that cried. And the whole house was filled with smoke. What is smoke? Smoke is the glory, the manifested presence of God. There's been meetings I've been in years ago where the smoke would come in. It looked like a mist just gradually coming in. But the thing is, when it came in, nobody could stand on their feet. Every one of us, I remember standing by a chair like this, and next minute I was on the floor. Nobody touched us. It was the glory and the manifestation of his presence. And this is returning to the church, because we must get a concept of who he is. It affects our lives so badly if we don't know who he is. Just got to get myself organized this morning. I'm still taken up with that song. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. What did he save you for? Have you ever thought of that? What did he save you for? Did he save you just to go to heaven? No. Did he just save you to preach the gospel? No. He saved you for a purpose. And a lot of times, the very purpose and the most important things to God for us, we often miss. And we major on the small things with God instead of finding out what is God's heart? What did he call me for? What am I here for? What is my purpose? So we're going to look at that today. We're looking at John 4:23. I don't want to ask you if you've got your Bibles, but I hope you got your Bibles. Because it's so, and do you know why? Because when people teach you, it's very hard to contain what they say if you don't look at the word while they're teaching you. Very hard to do that. And there's plenty of Bibles here if you need one. John 4:23. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father, look at this, in spirit and in truth. God wants us to know what truth is. He wants us to know who he is. And you can only do that through his word. The Father wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit. God will deal with you as a spirit because that's who you are. You are a spirit. Remember we did that. You are a spirit. Live in a body and you have a soul. You have a soul, you live in a body, you are a spirit. So God is a spirit and he'll deal with your spirit. He'll talk to your spirit. So God is a spirit that worship him. I looked up the word worship last night and I was kind of shocked what it means. But I like Dexter to understand. I love words. I can't just read a word and just say, oh, that's a nice word, go on. What does it mean to me? Because if I don't know what it means to me, it's not going to have little effect on my life. And so I looked up the word worship. What do we think of worship? We think of worship as hallelujah, glory, glory, and it is. But worship means to kiss. We're talking about intimacy now. I'm going to use a word today that a lot of people go, don't use that word. No, God wants intimacy with you and I. And this is where we've missed it. We can get very caught up in ministry. We can get very caught up in works and running the church. But the very core of our being, if it's not founded in worship and fellowship with him, we will get into the flesh and manifest only works of the flesh. And they're good things. Feeding the poor, looking after the church. They're all good things. Don't quote me wrong today. But just as you imagine an apple and it's got a core running through it. That core is its life. You take the core out of that apple, it will dry up. And that's the same with us. Why do we see so much dryness in our own lives? Why do we not our hearts filled with passion for Jesus? Because we don't fellowship with him. We don't take time. We don't have a heart attitude to say, good morning, Father. How are you today, Lord? High priests went in to the holies of holies and they ministered to the Lord. They didn't run in there with their long needs of prayer. Give me this, Lord. Give me that, Lord. I need this, Lord. Oh, bye, Lord. And we're inclined to do that. Or I'll go in there and just start, and my mind is going everywhere but fellowship with him. Everywhere. I'm saying, shut up, brain. Shut up. We're not going to touch that today. And then I start praying and worshiping. Here comes another thing. So you have to keep doing that until you come into that quiet place. But it's not the hours of worship. It's not the hours of prayer. It's the attitude of the heart. And this is where we've missed it. We do church. We faithfully come, Karen, every week in our lovely new red car. But we do church. But we have to be the church. And the church is God's bride, Jesus' bride. You're his bride. He's waiting for you. There's going to be a big marriage supper one day because he's so excited about seeing us and having us with him. That's his heart. I remember years ago, he said, I used to pray in the mornings and then I'd pray a little bit at night and then I stopped doing that. And he said, if I had, and you've heard me say this before, if I had 12 daughters and one of them didn't come and just spend some time with me, my day would not be the same. This is God Almighty, the one who made this earth. He is holy, but he's also Papa. He's also Daddy. And he longs to have fellowship with you and I. He misses us. Can you imagine that, Brenda, that he misses us when we don't just stop for a moment? It don't take long. You can be doing your dishes. You can be vacuuming your carpets. And just, I love you, Lord. I love you, Father. You're so good to me. Thank you, Jesus. What are you doing? You are ministering to him. And that is what we were called to do. And if that is gone out of your heart, you will find yourself getting hard and dry. There won't be much passion in you anymore. There'll be no excitement in you more. When you come, why do you come here? We come to worship him, to lift him up, to praise him, and to love up on him. How often do you hear people say, oh, I just love the Lord so much. I just love him. Why would someone say that to us? Because it's in their hearts. What is in your heart will come out of your mouth. You can't help it. Sometimes I let negative things get in my heart. And when I'm talking to certain people, I just hope they won't come out of my mouth. But a lot of times they do, because my heart is full of it. And you have to ask yourself, what is my heart full of? Do I have adoration for him? Am I as much in love with him today as I was years ago? He's wanting, I can sense the presence of God with his church right now. Things are closing down as far as this world is concerned. Things are closing down. The time for his appearing, even a few months ago, I heard him say to me, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Are we going to be ready? Is he going to find love and adoration in our hearts? Or have we got hardened and embittered by the things of life? And I understand that. I've had times in my life, I've been with the Lord now for 40 years, a long time. And I had times when I've walked so close to him and heard him so sweetly in here, heard him easily. And then life has happened. Divorce happens. Bankruptcy happens. Losing your house happened. All these things has happened to me. I found myself, I told you, homeless at 46 years old. Nowhere to go. Absolutely nowhere to go. But he supplied. He came through for me. Why? Because he looks after us. He loves us. But we need to start loving him back. Don't get caught. Can I say a word to you this morning? Because I've been there, I've done it, so I feel qualified to say it. Is that all right? Don't ever get caught up with ministry. James Robeson said years ago, you know James Robeson on Life International, he said when he was a young Christian, he used to go in the woods and sit there on a log and just, I love you, Father. I've come to meet with you today, Father. Come to have some time. But then he got into the ministry and he got so busy, great crusades. And as the years went on, if you ever heard him preach in those days, it was hard and cutting. It wasn't just stern and firm, because you need stern and firm sometimes in preaching, but it was harsh and cutting. And he said his whole life began to dry up. He could preach, he could lead people to Jesus, but there was no intimacy, no fellowship, no life coming from the Holy Spirit to him. He was running on dry. And we can run on dry. I hope you hear me this morning. We can run on dry, but we'll dry out and won't be able to run no more. That's what will happen to us. If we don't keep first things first, which is to love him. This is not condemnation this morning. I'm asking all of us to search our hearts. This message today has challenged me. It's challenged me. Because you can just, even loving people. You can get caught up with that. Where people become your everything, Gary. You look to people. You look for their approval. You look for their acceptance of you. It's a trap. It's a trap of the enemy. We love people, but we don't build our lives on people. He's got to be number one. He's got to be the source that you live by. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Here's what we're called for. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. You don't have to look here, but there's a reference for 1 John 1 to 3 that talks about what you're called. What was I called for? I was called to fellowship with him. If you fellowship with him, every ministry, everything that you ever want to happen in life will happen, because you're getting the main thing right. But it's a thing that is going to challenge you the rest of your life. Whatever idol, and ministry can become an idol in your life. Trust me, I know. Been there, done that. Where you learn to love the adoration of people. You love the praise that they give you when you teach or when you lead in worship or whatever. But it's an idol. It can become an idol. So our whole life is a process of keeping close to him and dealing with things when they come to steal. It's like having a marriage. And that bride, men, is the most precious thing that you have in life. I always look at Kim and Glenn as a perfect example of a marriage that, to me, I don't know how long they've been married, but I'm not going to ask them that, but it's been a long time, right? But I see the little touching of each other. I see the of each other. And I mean, they live together, but I still see that here. What is that telling me? Their fellowship and their intimate. I don't mean to be personal when I say this, but they're intimate together. They're keeping that passion alive. Jesus is passionate about us. He is not a God that sits there with a frown on his face. He enjoys you. He enjoys me. He's waiting for us. He loves us with a love that is so deep and strong that we can lean right back on, because his love never changes. It can't change. Do you know God can't stop loving you, because he'd be non-existent? Because he don't have love. God is love. So he could never stop. I love that. I love that. Because I love people one day and I could slap them the next. That's about as deep as my human love goes. And because I'm so nice, you wouldn't see me slap him. But I could slap him. I'm slapping him in here. Anyone else in the house like that sometimes? Yes, yes. Oh, hi, how are you? Oh, I could give you a... But Jesus is not like that. And when I mess up and when I say, oh, here I am again. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that to that person. You say, okay, the blood is there. Get the blood, get up, and go on. I love it. I love God. I love God because he takes me into freedom. People give up on you. People will love you one day, not the next. But he won't. He's totally committed. He's totally in love with you. Can you imagine God being in love with us? Yes, he is. Because we're in Christ. He don't look at you and me. He looks at Jesus and he sees you in Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. So we've been called unto fellowship. What is fellowship? Companionship and an interaction, a sharing with Jesus. I love the example in Exodus 33. I just love this. Exodus 33. Just going to look at two verses here, 11 and 18. That song, ooh, it was so marvelous this morning. Everything that's in here was in that song about adoring you. Okay, Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, look at this, face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. Can you see the heart of God there? How he loves companionship? That's why he created us. That's why he created us. You can say, well, God's not lonely. Well, he created to have fellowship with you. That's why he created you. The Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. Isn't that lovely, Glenn, that you can be a friend of God? We used to sing that song. I'm a friend of God because I'm in covenant with him. And then Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. We sang that this morning. Show me your glory. And then we go to 34:6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful. Look here. He didn't say powerful and mighty right away. And he is. What did he say? He said, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundance in goodness and truth. That's who he is. God is good. All the time. Good, Brian, you got it. All the time. You think that is all the time his goodness is extended to us. His mercy, his graciousness. I love graciousness. It's love to be gracious to people. It's beautiful. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness. But if you don't know him like this, if you don't believe he's like that, your concept, how you think of him, will greatly affect your life. It'll affect your faith. It'll affect your confidence, how you approach him, every area of your life, how you see him. This is why the word, this is God revealing himself to us. And if we don't get into this word, how are we going to know him? You can't just know him by his spirit, because then you can get into dangerous places there. Because you need the soundness of the word to back up with the spirit. The two work together. As we fellowship with God, he reveals his character to us so we know what he is like. Christianity is the only religion in the world where man can have a fellowship and relationship with God. You think that Islam, they don't have fellowship with their God. They're terrified of him. And there is, he doesn't even exist. Hindus, Buddhas, they don't have fellowship with God. This is Christianity. It's not religion. It's the only one where man and God can walk together and talk together. That's beautiful. Fellowship means that we share things together. We're partners together. It's a love relationship. And a lot of people don't understand that. It is a love relationship. When you were born again, you were taken into fellowship with God. And it's that he loves you, you love him. That works. It's a simple thing, but it's a major thing. We care for each other. God longs for us to want to be with him. He longs for that. You think of that. You don't hear a lot of people say that, but it's true. He longs to be with us. I know he's in us, but he loves it when we turn our attention to him and talk to him. If we don't walk in fellowship with him, we dry up, and the tenderness and the sweetness goes out of our lives. The freshness of the Holy Spirit is not seen in us. What is religion? Man's idea how to be with God. Religion is horrible. I'd rather be non-born again than to be religious. A lot of people ask me and say to me, oh, you're religious. I say, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not religious. I was brought up religious in the Anglican Church, but I'm not religious. I have a fellowship. I have a relationship. I don't have a religion with Melissa. I have a fellowship with her. We talk together. We eat together in Wendy's after prayers on Wednesday nights. We like to go there. Letting you into our secrets now. If you see any crumbs on the floor when you go to Wendy's, you'll say, "Ah, oh, Melissa and Linda have been here. They were here the night before." But we fellowship. We love each other. We disagree sometimes, but it's all right. We talk together. I don't always understand why God does the things he does, but I trust him because he knows better. It can become businesslike, a religion. God compares our walk with like a marriage. We love to be around newly married people because of their love and passion. But what brings joy to me is to see a couple who's been married 20, 30 years still in love and affectionate to each other. You know, that little hand tapping in church, a little arm around the shoulder. You can see a healthy marriage. You can see it. And I mean, you don't have to be demonstrous in front of people, but it's just that something is still there. Do you understand what I mean? Something is still there. They still catch their eyes and you know, flutter their eyes at each other. I love all that. It's beautiful. It's romantic. It's the way that marriage should be. It's the way we should be with Jesus. They're still affectionate with each other. You can see that they have been building up a fellowship of intimacy between the two of them. Can people see Jesus in us? Can they see a build-up of the intimacy and the fellowship that we've had with him over the years? Can they see that in us? I want us to, but the only way to do it is through keeping in fellowship with him. Are you getting something from this morning? I hope so, because this, not for my sake, but this is the core. If you, a lot of you are probably in your 40s, not me and Naomi, we're at the other end of life now, and you've got a life ahead of you. Do you know you can sit in the service and one word from God can change your life? Today I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to put something in us that will keep us going for the next 20 or 30 years. If you learn things that I'm talking about today, you will be able to handle life because you're doing it from the life source of God between you and I. A woman can take anything that comes in a marriage if she knows she's got a strong husband beside her. A husband that will stand with her, will love her, and that's nice, and be together. You can take anything. But when that man goes off and commits adultery, then whole her, and I know what this is like, that whole, you just fall apart because you love that man. You want to be with him, and you can't no more because he's chosen a life. And that's how God grieves over us. When we choose to be hard-hearted and bitter and angry, it's not because it's a sin and he's looking at us and saying, "Oh, look at." No, he knows what it'll do between you and him. I have to forgive Melissa because he won't forgive me. I have to do that. I am continuously asking God, is there anything in my heart? Why? Because I cannot live without his fellowship. I cannot live without it. But the sad thing about the church on a whole today are doing very well without it. 82% of the church in America right now never pick up this word. 82%, Brenda. Never have any time with God each day. So what fruit of the Holy Spirit or the fruit of the Word are you going to see in their lives? As this world is today, it'd be easy to become carnal, think like the world, talk like the word. Words, bad words, curse words should not be coming out of our mouths as Christians. We are his dwelling place. I don't jump on people for their sins, but if I hear some effing words coming out of a Christian's mouth, can we talk plain today? I will say something to him. Because most people say, "Oh, sorry, 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 I swore." No, you knew what you were doing. You know, we all do wrong things, but don't curse and swear. Don't take Jesus' name in vain. He is a holy God. He's a beautiful God. He's a touchable God. And we need to give him the reverence and honor that he deserves. 1 John 4:16. Rebecca, I have not how long I've got. Okay? First John 4:16. This scripture, if you will take this today and meditate on this, it will change your life. We have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. Brother Copeland said recently at a meeting I was at, very few Christians believe that God really loved them. Very, very few Christians really do. Because if you do, it will totally change you. It will change how you handle life, how you deal with things. A lot of you are still young, as I said, and it's still before you, your life. How you see God and what you think he is like is the main thing that will help you to how to handle life. God is love. He loves us deep and strong. And if we don't believe it, our lives can become full of negative thinking. One of the biggest challenges in my life has been self-hatred. I'll be honest with you. I was always told as a young child, be good, be nice, be kind. Every day of my life I heard that. Be a good girl, be a good girl, be a good girl. And when you're brought up with that, you're very aware of yourself. It makes you more aware of yourself, which is not a good thing. And then when you go through a marriage and there's adultery after adultery after adultery, what is it feeding you? You're not enough. You're no good. So I would every day I would try to be more appealing and look right and speak right. But he didn't do it because there was something wrong in his heart that had to be dealt with. And I'm not talking about people committing adultery one time. That's forgivable. Especially if they'll go and work through that. But when he got into a lifestyle, I had 8 years out of 26 where there was no adultery. That's an awful lot. And it drastically affected me as a Christian. Drastically. And I would find that when I made a mistake, I would just instantly go into all this self-hatred. It was, how can I say? It was unacceptable to me to do any wrong because he was such a perfectionist to live with. Everything had to be done a certain way. You know, if I cook a meal or anything, and he, bless his heart, he's gone to glory now, and it's okay, and we were all right with each other before he left. But everything was, oh, you know, if I was doing it, I would do it this way. And it's almost like in life we can be stripped down layer by layer by people's words. And all we get is what they've given us. And all we live with is the concept of who they think we are. But to get rid of that, there's only one way, is to fellowship with God and to get into his word. You need to ask God, what do you think of me? What do you think of me? When you think of me, God, what do you think about me? And he'll show you in here. But right here, I have, what is Paul saying? I have believed and known the love of God. That known there is an intimacy word. It means like when a man and a woman know each other sexually. But this means intimacy between you and God. I've believed and known. I've had to look at that scripture over and over again. And when I make a mistake, I've had, instead of going, I tell you why it's so deadly, self-hatred, is because it can lead to thoughts of suicide. Let's talk where we are today. I don't want to be flowery and fairy this morning. This is where we live. This is where we live. We might look lovely when we're at church, but sometimes we live in torment in our own being. Am I right? Yeah. Because of words. Because of words. And because of people's actions to us and the way they treat us. It feeds us something all the time. And if you want to change that, and it's not going to come overnight, you can change it. We're not a victim of our past. I am not who my husband's actions said I am. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here now. I wouldn't be able to do this because I'd be so terrified of making a mistake. But God began to love up on me. And God began to cuddle me. You mean God cuddled you? Yes, I could feel his presence around me. And I remember years ago, I was crying up here. I don't know if Brock will remember this. And he came behind me and he put his arms around the back of me to hear. And he said to me, I've got you. And it was like God was saying, I've got you. It's okay. It's okay. And that's why I love him. That's why I love him. Because I honestly can say, I think I would, because of all what I went through with him, I would probably be mentally a breakdown and end up, I did at one time, I ended up in the hospital, St. Joe's. Because a human being can take so much of continual abuse. And then it comes a day, either you step out of that, which I did, I had to step out. I had to step out because he was bringing women to my home. And to me, that was the end of the end. I have a little black friend, and she used to say to me, Linda, if he'd done that, his skin would have been hanging on the wall. But I was told to be nice. You know, in England, we talk about taking the frying pan and hitting the men over with a frying pan or a saucepan or something. But I was taught to be nice. And that's what I was. I didn't deal with it rightly. But God is good. Whatever you go through, whatever people say to you, if people say nasty things to you out of their own bitterness, you cover those words with the blood of Jesus because they will have an effect. I remember a man years ago, he had a dream and he was standing there and people were coming past him, one after another, and their mouths were going. He couldn't hear the words they were saying, but their mouths were going. And he asked the Lord in the dream, what is this? What are they doing? And he said, they're cursing you. And the words that have been spoken over you ever since you were a little boy. And it's got into you and it's shaping you and molding you. So how do I reverse that? I reverse because they become strongholds, Karen, in our mind. They affect how we relate to God and they affect how we relate to people. And they need to be changed. And they can be changed through fellowship with him. Because God is love, his love is for us is not based on our performance. Oh, don't you love that? I love that. I don't have to say, oh, Linda, you haven't been good today. Or you've been bad today. No, he doesn't love us based on our performance. He loves us because we're in Jesus. And we've accepted his son. If I believe he loves and cares for me, my response is to want to be with him and develop a fellowship with him. I don't know about you. When you know people really love you, you yield to them. You respond to them. There's just, we all like to be loved. Right, Cindy? Everybody likes to be loved. But when you know that God loves you, it will draw you closer to him. We love him because he first loved us. As I said, it's not the long prayers. It's just a simple believing he loves me and I want to love him back. It takes work. Does a marriage take work? Oh, yes. Every day it takes work. Because you always marry who's opposite. And when we marry God and we're born again, we're all tied up with the worldly ways and the worldly thinking. So here we are, walking together with God, and he's not going to line up with us, Gary. We've got to start lining up with him. This is why you need to get in the Word. So every day, when your behavior or your thinking is not according to this Word, you take this and you say, no, I'm not thinking like that about that person. I'm not thinking like that. That's nasty thoughts. I'm not having that. What does the word of God? It says love for each other. That's what the word says. So what are you doing? You're little by little, you're conforming to the word of God. And it's not a hard thing. But if you don't know this word, what are you going to conform to? Just your old ways of thinking and doing things. It takes work. It comes from the heart. It's our choice. It's so easy just to go to church, like we said. But we are God's beloved. I've got a song at home that says, I'm your beloved, and I'm loved by you. I'm loved by you. I'm your beloved. I like that. I sing that when I get up in the morning. What am I doing by singing that? I'm building into me his love for me. Can you see this? We are in a process of getting rid of everything of our old ways and building up into us the process of how he thinks. You do it in a marriage. It's either going to be tug of war or one of you is going to yield. And in a marriage, you have to do a lot of yielding. A lot of yielding. Because his ways are not your ways. And it takes a lot of work. Is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. We are his bride. So often we don't like to talk about love, but that's who God is. Fellowship is intimacy with God. So often we are uncomfortable with the outer demonstration of our affection for him. But this is the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is about getting the outer man sorted out. Saying the right things, praying the right way. That's religion. Christianity comes from the inside of a heart of love for him. Let's just look, and I'm going to close in a minute. Luke 7. Are you okay or are you getting sleepy? You okay? I know it's easy to get sleepy. I know that. Luke 7, verse 38. Are you there? This to me is a love story between a lady and Jesus. And behold, a woman, verse 37, in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the meat at the Pharisee's house and brought an alabaster. Here I want you to see the difference between Christianity and religion. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now, is that intimacy? Yes, it's intimacy. That's her love taking her beyond self-consciousness. She wasn't caring what people thought. She loved him, and she wanted to show him she loved him. Now, when the Pharisees saw it, here comes religion, which makes stinky. In one translation, it said they were indignant. How could she do that to him? Absolutely indignant. You can almost feel the head rising up, you know. Religion, to me, is a big head. It's just rising up, you know. That's how I think of it. And when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, they spake within themselves, not to him. They weren't bold enough to speak to him. And they said, if that man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Look at that stinking attitude. And that's what religion is. Love will touch the unlovely. Love will go places where people are untouchable. Love will do that. But Jesus had an answer for him. And he said, seest this woman, I entered into your house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. Talked about worship being a kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You think how beautiful that is. I think it is. I think it's beautiful. My head with oil, she did anoint. But this woman have anointed my feet with ointment. He's letting them know they're wrong. The way they were thinking about her was wrong. You know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit begins to move and people come up to the front and the Holy Ghost comes on them, and sometimes we're embarrassed because their old dignity is gone. They're just pouring out their hearts to God. But that's the way it should be. I remember years ago I was in a church and I've never danced before. I know I dance now, which is a surprise because I never thought I would with the flag and that. But anyway, that's another story. And I was in a church and the music started and there was a tambourine beside me that belonged to somebody. I had such a desire to get up and worship God. Nobody had ever done that in this church. They clap and that, but that was it. And I got up and I started to dance all with this tambourine. And you could feel the anointing of God coming in because I was obedient to do it. But I heard people laughing. And I heard people giggling. Look at her. How could she do that? How could she make a fool of herself like that? Remember David's wife? Do you know what that is? That's religion. That's religion. Let us be moved by the Holy Spirit. If somebody wants to lay out here and weep before God, and get his heart cleaned up. I've laid in the spirits at churches. God has worked on my heart. He's done a work in me. Let us never despise any outward demonstration of the Spirit of God moving on somebody. Okay. She was acting out from her heart. The Pharisees were acting out of religion and pride. Keeping love in our hearts for God is the heart of all our relationship. Keeping a heart that loves. And it's a challenge, Gary, because of the life in the world that we live in. It is a challenge, but it's a choice. Every day I can get up and choose to love, or I can choose to be bitter. It's my choice. I love that I have a choice. I do. You can't make me angry, Gary, even if I don't want to be. Not that he could, he's too sweet. But I have that choice. And God has given us a choice, and I love that. Keeping love in our hearts for God, I'll say it again, is the heart of all relationship with him. It's the place of joy and peace. One more scripture, and then we're closing. Revelation 2:4. Revelation 2:4, just a minute. This is a hard scripture, but it's true. Nevertheless, I have something more to say to thee, because you have left your first love. First love means the thing that is foremost in our lives. That's what first love means. And then he tells them to repent because they're getting cold. And then he goes on to talk about them being cold or hot. We need to be passionate for Jesus. This world needs to see some passion. It does. They don't need religious people. I'm not saying you are, but they don't need religious people. They need people that would be quick to lay hands on them. People to minister to them by the Spirit. Desire to flow in the Holy Ghost when you're at work and when you're out in places. Desire that. Desire to have the words of knowledge and wisdom coming out of you. And you think of how amazing that would be just to go up to somebody. I do this. I do pray over people if they let me. I asked one of the ladies in my building the other day, can I pray over you? Because she was in pain. No, she said. I said, that's fine. But others will let me do it. So I want that flow. It's so important to fellowship with God. Remember one thing today. That is number one. That is number one. Everything else will fall into place. And if it's not there, things will become idols. And we don't want that. He's number one. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you and praise you today for your love, for your mercy, for your goodness. Father, I just thank you and praise you for you. We love you for Jesus. We love you that we can approach you and fellowship with you, Father God. And we just thank you for everything that you are, Lord Jesus. And we worship you and praise you. Father, I just plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over everyone in this place today. As they go out from here, over their cars, over their families, over their buildings, that Satan will not touch them this week. That no weapon formed against them will prosper. And Father, that they would delight themselves in you this week. That they remember these words about keeping you first place, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I just ask today, if you feel your heart has grown cold and you want to give yourself afresh to him, you don't have to do it in public. But let's just shut our eyes a minute. Just search your heart and say, Lord, is my heart grown cold? Am I loving you, Father, or am I loving other things? And just be honest with him in your heart. Don't go out of here the same. Let him do a work in you. He's only doing it because he loves you so much. And he don't want you to stumble or fall. That's why God comes to work on our hearts. Father, we just thank you for searching our hearts. If there's any wicked way in us, any way that's hidden, Father God, that's destructive to us, that you would pinpoint it, Father God, and we can repent. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody